Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The reason I've wanted to do this is because I feel like it's difficult for the council to work with the current mayor and decide, should we give this person a raise or not? And I felt like since we are currently compensated using a formula, that there is a formula out there for the superintendent. It's based on population, so it's going to be not as much. The superintendent of Escambia County gets paid a significant amount more than what our mayor would get paid, but it is more than what the current mayor is being paid.
City Councilmember Charles Baer bringing the item last week to raise the mayor's salary from $134,000, which is set by an actual vote on that number, to a formula that would parallel the superintendent's pay for the school district and make it at current $168,000, because like their salary is based on a state formula and the Escambia County Board of Commissioners is based on a state formula, and he wanted to make the mayor's pay based on a formula. You know, in practice right now, it would be a $34,000 a year raise, or I mean, it would be after next election, it wouldn't be right now. But, you know, that would have been the idea that Charles Baer was trying to bring in. You know, his theory is partially it's kind of weird to have the board, you know, the council be voting up or down on the mayor's salary, like they're doing job reviews for somebody who is independently elected. That's a little bit weird. The contrary on that a little bit was Allison Patton saying, yeah, we don't want us voting on our own salary. That makes sense why we do a formula. But isn't this actually a perfectly appropriate thing for the legislature to be discussing, is the, you know, the salary of the mayor? Somebody who's running for mayor herself, Jasmine Brown.
Our elected officials should be motivated to seek office because they are deeply invested in the well-being of our community, not because of a paycheck. A higher salary is not necessarily going to attract a better slate of candidates. It could just as easily attract people who are only interested in this office for their own personal advancement. We have had enough of that in politics as it is. Our elected officials shouldn't have dramatically higher living standards than the average person who lives and works here. The office of mayor already comes with a salary that is roughly twice the area average income, and there is absolutely no justification for raising it higher. In fact, if it were up to me, the salary of the mayor would be tied to the average salary in the region. What our workers get paid is what our mayor should get paid. A mayor is supposed to be the servant of the people. If someone won't run because the salary isn't high enough, then they might not be suited for the job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I think the question of how much politicians should make, it's a really complicated question. The core issues that you're dealing with are, on the one hand, I think Jasmine is, in some sense, there's something appealing about having an elected official that makes what the average person makes. I mean, you know, why should they make a lot when most people are struggling? You know, and if they can help people make more, then maybe they should make more too. And if they can't, they can't. It's not a terrible argument, okay? But, of course, the job of being mayor is hard. It's complicated. It takes a lot of skill, a lot of executive experience. You have to make hard judgments. You trust that by, you know, electing this person, you're going to get them making wise choices. Well, the theory is that somebody who is capable of doing all that stuff, somebody who's capable of running a 900-person operation, well, in the regular world, they make a lot more money. And in order to be competitive, to attract somebody into being mayor, you've got to give them a comparable salary or at least something which is going to be significantly above just the average. Because presumably when you elect a mayor, you're electing somebody who you hope is above average. Not to be too rude about it, but, you know, average people make average money. Above average people make above average money. And if you won't pay them above average money, they'll go somewhere else. Now, I also recognize what she's saying about, and feel free to weigh in, 437-1620, you know, whether you think the mayor should be paid more in the city of Pensacola, $168,000 instead of $134,000 a year. her argument that you don't want to put too big of a price tag on it because then you turn politics into something that people go into for the money. Oh, okay. I mean, I hear you about that. Then again, if paying more is what it gets to put the high performer motivated, you know, right? That's good. Jen Breyer, she makes the argument that if you don't have a high enough salary, then the only people who are going to be interested in this are people who don't need the job at all, which is wealthy, and you don't want that.
You have to make enough money, but, or else, just to be sure here, you'd only have very wealthy people take the position. Those who could afford not to have a salary, that's an issue, right?
Yeah, the sort of leisure luxury class, you don't want them only doing it. But, you know, Casey Jones says he kind of sympathizes at least with the concerns Jasmine Brown is bringing up.
Right now it's a good wage for that position. I mean, you know, the justification for raising it was that it's a position that leads a team of 900 plus people, which I think in the private sector would probably be paid much more than that. In most cases, but like Ms. Brown said, I think that someone that's running for mayor should not be in it just for the money, but should also be in it for the community and you know, giving back to the community that they care about. Thank you.
I'll say there's other factors here too. For instance, okay, if you don't pay the mayor enough, then you're making the mayor more susceptible to influence. Not to take too, you know, basic of an example, but a mayor who doesn't make very much money might be more easily swayed by people who just give them free lunches. You know, it might seem like a silly example, but you see what I'm saying? If they make enough money to not really need the favors, then they're less likely to take them. And that's an advantage. Also, people don't go into politics for the money. You know, people who think that, I think it's kind of silly. People go into politics because, A, they want to serve. They have a vision they want to enact. Or, you know, for power. And power can be good and bad. You know, they want to shape and create. And that desire to shape and create and guide and direct and improve, that can be a very, you know, benevolent thing. That could be a self-serving thing. That can just be a desire to have influence. I mean, power is a pay of sorts, right? Think of all the things that people do in order to have power and recognition and influence and on its own, regardless of whether it pays money, regardless of whether it, you know, makes your quality of life any better. So we'll come back to this in just a second. I'm curious your thoughts. 437-1620. PJ's got traffic on the 5.
Thanks, Andrew. If you're heading to the base this morning, expect it to take you a little bit of extra time. Front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up South Navy Boulevard to about Gulf Beach Highway. Otherwise, no problems to report. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, PJ. We've been talking about this question of whether the mayor should get more money in City of Pensacola. By the way, the item failed. I mean, didn't even fail. Charles Baer withdrew it because there was obviously a lot of people that were not on board, and so he withdrew it. So this did not happen. But I think the conversation is interesting because so many different elected officials get such a wide range. You know, like in the city of Gulf Breeze, you get a buck for being a city council member. I mean, that's really underpaid, massively underpaid, but it's always been that way. Other places get more. I mean, some people make a pretty good living. County commissioners pay pretty good. You know, by average wage standards, it pays pretty good. It's also a very time intensive job. Most of your county commissioners have other jobs. Should they or shouldn't they? Part of the point of the mayor is only supposed to have that job and not have any side gigs. Why? Because you're hiring a full-timer. Well, hire a full-timer, pay them. You know, what is the appropriate wage for an executive leading a 900-person organization? Those are the questions. And also, imagine a situation where, you know, somebody who has a really high-paying job, let's say they make $500,000 a year. That's pretty good income, right? And they decide to run for mayor. And the pay is, you know, I don't know, 50. Wouldn't you actually be kind of concerned about somebody who's willing to take a 90% pay cut? I mean, you might wonder if there are not motives involved in finding financial compensation other ways through the power you can exert as mayor. I don't. It's a complicated question. It's not so easy one way or the other, in my opinion. So it's actually quite hard to figure out what is the appropriate pay. So I'm very sympathetic to formula-based pay, if only because there's so much other stuff to consider that at least a formula creates some kind of standardization that is not based on personalities and particular circumstances. 437-1620, got a bunch of texts coming in on this. Somebody says, given the prevailing market wage, 168 is reasonable if a bit too light. given everything else. Let's see. Somebody says, didn't the mayor and the council get a raise when DC took office? Yeah, but that was put in by the prior. Under Grover, they raised it from 100, you know, to 134 that it is now. Somebody texts in, council should set a policy to review the salary of the mayor every so many years and evaluate if it needs to be raised for the cost of living to be competitive or if it should be lowered because, you know, maybe they don't need as much money. Somebody else says, let's see, a true politician will find money one way or another, no matter what the pay scale. Well, that's always the concern, right? You know, you look at some of these people that have been in Congress for years and years and years and years and then retire, and I won't name names, but, you know, there are obvious examples. And, you know, the pay for a member of Congress is not so great. I mean, not by national, you know, big shot standards, so to speak. Somehow these people managed to do okay nevertheless. You know, net wealth massive during their time of office. So all of those concerns, you know, and it, again, I sometimes, you know, I have a real strong opinion about something one way or the other. This is one where you can kind of see a lot of different angles on this. And how do you balance all of those competing viewpoints on whether the mayor should make more or should make less? And I don't think it's really obvious. I think there's a lot of good questions to be raised in the conversation. That's why I wanted to bring it to you this morning. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of math, we're talking about numbers, so we're talking about math. But seriously, if you've got a kid who is struggling with math, or you know what? Sometimes people go to Mathnasium not because a kid is doing poorly, but because a kid does well and they want them to do better. They can make that happen too. They are, I mean, genuinely, they are going to train your child. And, you know, if there's repairs that need to be made to the various skills that they are sort of have fallen behind on, they can do that. If it's optimization and improvement so that they can be even better at math, they can do that. It's very individualized training. My own son taught there for a year. We're good friends with the owners. I mean, really good people. But here's the point. If you got a kid who was doing well at math and is struggling, or just is struggling, or just, you know, sometimes you get into new subjects and it just hasn't clicked. You know, the penny didn't drop for them for whatever reason. Take them into Mathnasium. The assessment is completely free. And you can find out, you know, hey, here's what we need to work on. Here's what they do pretty well. Here's what we will do for them. You know, here's the cost, okay? Step Up money is available. They are a provider for Step Up if that's of interest to you. But the assessment is completely free. And you can find out what is, you know, 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. 90% say an improvement in school grades. Is a very effective program. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of my favorite church hymns on the topic of prayer is entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. The four verses deal with two topics, handling heavy burdens and fighting sinful temptation. Here are the words to the first verse. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. That's powerful, right? Here are the words of the fourth verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and he will help me over the world the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're facing today, whether it's heavy burdens or it's sinful temptation, take time to pray and tell Jesus and let him work in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
This holiday season, whether you're shopping for clients, coworkers, or loved ones, Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze makes gift-giving easy and memorable. From custom apparel and drinkware to unique holiday gifts and decor, you'll find the perfect way to show your appreciation and spread cheer. Make your gifts stand out with personal touches and professional quality, all from your local experts at Prim and Proper. Visit them at 336 Gulf Breeze Parkway or primandproper.com.
All right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Yeah. Crisp, refreshing. That hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bueller?
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Thank you, Simone.
No problem whatsoever.
All right, raise your hand if you ever memorized that. 725 on News Radio 92.3. Thank you, Simone. No problem whatsoever. PJ sitting in for John Pickens, which is a little bit of initial confusing, right? Because JP, PJ, you know, mm-hmm. You can see how it gets all turned around in my head. But PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's running a little bit heavy. US 90 as you're crossing the Escambia River Bridge. So just be aware of that. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up South Navy Boulevard to about Gulf Beach Highway. I-110 also looking pretty good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Tesla CEO Elon Musk and NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang are set to join a discussion today on artificial intelligence at the U.S.-Saudi Investment Forum. Both of those men also attended a dinner at the White House with President Trump and Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman yesterday. A 25-year-old survivor of the Parkland, Florida school shooting is now running for Congress in New York. Cameron Caskey was 17 when the shooting happened. And now is running as a Democrat for a seat in New York's 12th congressional district. And First Lady Melania Trump and Second Lady Usha Vance will be in North Carolina today. They'll be visiting with military members and their families at Camp Lejeune. The White House says Trump and Vance will have activities with students on base, incorporating their children's educational initiatives.
All right, David. Usha, by the way. This is gonna say far more about me than about anything else. But there's a little teeny tiny 12-year-old part of me that every time, the second time now, you've told that story about the NVIDIA meeting, and you mentioned the CEO, his name is what again?
Hold on, I gotta go back to Jensen Huang.
Yeah, there's the 12-year-old inside of me chuckles a little bit.
Me too.
It's, you know, what do you do when names from one language or culture are, you know, homophones for our actual same word as things that are vulgar or funny or whatever in another language? It's just, what can you do? It's just the reality of the world. Well, grow up, Andrew, and don't remark on it. Oh, come on. Come on. I know that some of you laughed, too, inside. And you said to yourself, you scolded yourself like adult you told little you, don't laugh at that. And then Andrew, you laughed. And, oh, we can't get away from it. So sorry. There it is. Hey, if you have a business and you have employees you have to deal with insurance like dental, vision, life, health, disability, you got to manage HR, payroll, all of that kind of stuff. Torgerson Consulting can help you with that. Maybe what you're doing right now is the best it can be done. It might be. I mean, I don't know. Maybe what you've got right now can have an improvement. You can save money. You can give better service, better plans, whatever for your people. I don't know. But that's why you call them and say, hey, you know, Andrew's always talking about you. He says you guys are great. And they are. We've been working with them for almost 5 years here at News Radio and Cat Country and ESPN Pensacola. They're great. My wife approves of them. She's an industrial engineer. Trust me, that's a hard certification to get. And so she loves them. They're fantastic. Great customer service. Have them come and look at what you're doing. No obligation. And they'll come back and say, hey, that's great. You don't need us. Or here's how we can help. Either way, you do things better. Maybe you save money. Maybe your employees are happier. Why wouldn't you want that, right? Locally owned and operated for more than 20 years, Torgerson Consulting, helping businesses like yours. Give them a call today at 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Somebody says, Andrew, the mayor of Pensacola of any city is a 24/7, 365 position, and it's just not the number of people on staff, but size, complexity of the position. Consider the mayor as a CEO and hire them I'm not sure what that says. Hold them accountable. Get politics out of it and operate as a business. $200,000 is not unreasonable for a business of this size. See, I'm sympathetic to that argument. I am. And yet, there's this kind of how does it look, you know, kind of problem. And, you know, with all of the sort of rich-poor gap class warfare stuff that is circulating these days, you know, CEOs make a lot more than average workers. On principle, that doesn't offend me. Because I think it's hard to be a CEO, and it's not that hard to be a worker. And there are more scarce, you know, people to be eligible to do it. What offends me with the high CEO pay, and the point is you don't want the mayor to fall into that same gap, that same perception problem, right? You want the people to believe that the mayor represents everybody and to feel that way and to not feel alienated and offended that they make so much money. You know, all of that kind of makes sense. But the problem with the CEO pay is not that CEOs make a lot of money. If a CEO runs a company well, makes it profitable, everything goes great, stock prices rise, people are happy, and it's growing. I mean, pay them whatever you need to. The problem with CEO pay is all of the safety nets and the escape clauses, and then if you blow the company up, you still make a ton of money. And, you know, it's all of the other stuff around CEO pay that offends me personally. But the idea that the CEO of the company makes $8 million a year when the, you know, the line worker makes $60,000, well, is the company growing, thriving, profitable? Then, again, pay him whatever you need to pay him to keep him doing what he's doing, because it's working.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. No word yet when the bill that sailed through Congress to force the DOJ to release the Epstein files will reach President Trump's desk for a signature. South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman.
This isn't a Democrat, it isn't a Republican issue. This is an American integrity issue of bringing to light what it was a massive cover-up.
Republican earlier on Fox and Friends First. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll and his team landed this morning in Kyiv to meet with Ukrainian officials. He's the highest-level Trump Pentagon official to visit that nation, defending its homeland from Russia, which delivered yet another massive strike. That's from the northeastern city of Kharkiv. It's part of a barrage that leaves 20 dead, dozens more injured in the western part of the nation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 60 degrees with cloudy skies here in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. Well, Pensacola's red light cameras have resulted in thousands of citations written, but officials say the cameras actually haven't made intersections a lot safer. Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday said the number of drivers running red lights has not changed despite those cameras. The worst intersection still 9th and Gregory, which has racked up now more than 8,200 violations. The mayor said the city is working with FDOT to look at other potential solutions like signal timing and lighting. He says that they'll have a full year of data in January, and then they can decide on what other safety measures to look into. New developments in the SS United States Artificial Reef Project. Okaloosa County Commissioners have now approved partnerships to deploy the historic ship as an artificial reef in the Gulf early next year. The massive ship will be positioned about 22 nautical miles to the southwest of Destin. It'll become the world's biggest artificial reef. Visit Pensacola is contributing $1.5 million, the Coastal Conservation Association donating $500,000, and combined with the nearby USS Oriskany, the region positioning itself as one of the world's top destinations for divers and marine exploration. A judge has denied bond for the man charged with killing a Pensacola business owner, Joseph Michael Davis. He's accused of stabbing 57-year-old Dean Chambers at the AA Top Shop last month. The former employee allegedly entered the business through a hole in the warehouse wall. Davis faces a drug possession charge in addition to the homicide charge. He's due back in court on December 5th for an arraignment. Well, Pensacola pursuing what they say could be the largest economic development project in the area ever. A $250 million shipbuilding facility at the Port of Pensacola. It would bring thousands of jobs and new opportunities to the community.
The type of work and the type of pay that this is that you're talking about, an $80,000 average, you know, which is well above the normal expectation or normal minimum of Triumph. So it's good jobs, high paying jobs, in the middle of our city. We certainly are excited about that prospect.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says the project represents more than just employment. It represents quality, high-paying careers, which can allow families to build better futures. The facility would support light manufacturing, composite manufacturing, and cybersecurity. Pensacola is requesting $86 million in funding and also saying that worker training programs could be created at local institutions. If the project is approved by Triumph Gulf Coast, construction could begin sometime soon. The state of Florida planning to carry out another execution. Governor DeSantis signing the death warrant yesterday for Frank Walls, and he killed two people in 1987 in Okaloosa County. He was 19 at the time. Walls' execution date is set for December 18th. He would be the 19th person executed by the state this year. 735 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. There is a vehicle crash, Whisper Bay Boulevard at Gulf Breeze Parkway. They're saying the roadway is blocked. Use caution through that area. US 90, the traffic's running a little bit heavy as you cross the Escambia River. No delays on Olive or Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are looking at some fog through the morning hours. Fog clears out as you head into the afternoon, high near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. Dense fog possible as we go into your Thursday morning, high on Thursday afternoon near 76 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 62. Going into Friday, some fog again for the morning hours, temperatures warming up near 78 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and it's 62 degrees right now. Still just a little bit foggy and cloudy here across the area. Our next news at 8. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Home buying demand is dropping. According to new data from the Mortgage Bankers Association, it saw new applications fall 5% week over week. The culprit, or at least one of them, mortgage prices rose for the third straight week, up to 6.37% on the average 30-year mortgage. No doubt Walmart's got plenty of angry Friends fans in its DMs this morning. That's because Heinz new Friends-inspired leftover gravy sold out at Walmart just hours after the exclusive product was released yesterday. Leftover gravy is a reference to the episode with Ross's Moist Maker sandwich made out of Thanksgiving leftovers with a secret ingredient, an extra slice of gravy-soaked bread in the middle. Good luck getting Joey to share his portion. Maybe we'll finally be able to end this losing streak on Wall Street. Futures are slightly higher after four straight days of selling, fueled by concerns over AI companies. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. McKee Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians. They hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. How are you?
I am great. It's always good to have you. I want to start with the smallest thing on my list, but I told somebody that I would ask you, so I'm going to ask you this first just so I don't forget and we get pushed out of time. The Board of Governors, or Board of Governance, I guess, for the West Florida Public Libraries, has an appointment that comes from the city, from the mayor. I didn't even realize this. I thought that they were all county appointees because it's a county board. But it had been Lori Nesmith, and she has now been removed by you, is what I've been told. Explanation, context, I don't know. What should I understand?
Yeah, so like you said, that board is county, a county function. It's not something that comes across our desk very often. That being said, you know, the mayor's office has appointments across the board, whether it's DID, ones like these, and we're assessing those all the time. And this board member was an appointee of the previous administration. We're always, you know, looking at, you know, what makes the most sense for the city. And frankly, that's what a mayoral appointment is that the next mayor can put in someone else after we put in someone. So, I have not had a conversation with this person or have met them. Obviously when we start to assess and we had a whole list of what our appointments are, we, you know, make decisions based on that. So nothing really more to it than that.
Got it. And, you know, you would think that your appointees on boards would be people that you would actually know. so that kind of makes sense to me a little bit. Lots of stuff to talk about, but the red light camera's been big. The number of violations is enormous. The violations going westbound at 9th and Gregory are massive. It's crazy. Question that keeps coming up, I know people believe this, and I know you love to dispel myths. The duration of the yellow light is set by the FDOT standard based on a formula. As I understand it, it's a minimum of 4 and a maximum of 6 seconds. First things first, did anything change with the duration of the light or the timing of the lights when you put in the red light cameras?
Absolutely not. That this is the internet's greatest myth of, oh, they've shortened the yellow lights. No, that is not only is that not possible. And again, I think it's important to point out. So this conspiracy would also include FDOT,
right?
Because all of these lights are on FDOT roads that have the camera. So for this conspiracy theory to work, it would be that this would be the city's idea in cahoots with FDOT. Oh, and by the way, the camera system has zero interaction with the actual light system itself. It's a completely independent system. It has nothing to do with, it's not even connected to, touching anywhere in the proximity of the equipment that changes the light. It's completely, utterly false that there's been any change to any light timing or anything like that. That's just what people say when they get a ticket in the mail.
Okay, which I totally understand that, so I wanted to give you a chance to dispel that. But let's talk solutions. If people are running the red light at 9th and Gregory so frequently, I've had two solutions proposed to me, or two explanations that have been proposed to me. Number one is, could it be that they're distracted by the very bright digital signboard right behind the Bay Center, which is very bright and very noticeable and easily to distract? Second, given that nobody in their right mind ever drives 45 on the bridge or 35 on Gregory, is it possible that the light timing is poorly designed because almost everybody's going 45 through there anyway, and the yellow light should be longer?
All right. So, yeah, first of all, and again, those would be two assessments that would be put in, approved, disallowed by FEOT.
Right.
Just to be clear, that
right.
wouldn't be
of course.
Because of that road. And I will agree, certainly, in the sense that we have an issue from the bridge to that light, and we're proving it right now.
Right.
Right. Unfortunately. But with the wrecks, especially motorcycle wrecks coming off of the bridge,
yeah.
not having anything to do with the red light, but you know, half a mile from that red light, but we've had some major issues coming on to Gregory. And should we be surprised, Andrew? It's a you know 4-lane superhighway with nothing stopping you.
Right.
That you're supposed to, like you said, quote unquote, go 35 miles an hour in. And this is a part and parcel example of why street design, whether you're talking about South Palafox or you're talking about anywhere in the city, that where you start to narrow lanes and you start to that
oh my God, you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you if you'd propose a road diet on Gregory. Oh my God. Okay. Go on.
I mean, if I had my way, again, when you have a 4-lane superhighway that doesn't stop anybody, and then should we be surprised that the light that has done more damage, the approach out of the 19 or whatever it is,
yeah.
That's done more damage than any by far is the light going westbound on, at the Bay Center. I mean, should we be surprised? And so, you know, I know that it's alarming for us from a crash and fatality standpoint, motorcycle standpoint on that entire corridor. And then we just now have yet another data point that shows. Listen, the light, if you go watch those 8 videos we just put up yesterday,
yep.
I don't think it had anything to do with that video board.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's people blowing through the light, going around traffic. But it's just when we train the brains of our drivers to say, you know, you can just be hauling butt 4 lanes as fast as you want for 2 straight miles through our city, then why are we surprised at these results, unfortunately? So I
yeah.
would love to work with FDOT and see what we can do.
Oh, great. Well, I mean, you know, and again, slow the cars down and maybe lengthen the light. Both could be on the table because apparently
sure.
that's the combination that's producing the results we're having. Hang on for me for just a second, Mr. Mayor. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. We got PJ in for John Pickens this morning, the traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NAS Pensacola still backed up South Navy Boulevard to about just across Gulf Beach Highway. Near the Walmart, so just expect delays as you head to base this morning. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Last quick question on the red light cameras. Are they working? Do we have any evidence that they're either reducing crashes or saving time for PPD? Net, of course, given that they have to spend time, as you mentioned, validating the tickets or whatever, because that's the ultimate question, right, is not just are people running the red lights, but is that causing crashes? And if not, why do we bother having the enforcement?
Yeah, we've got a cursory kind of 8-month in look at, and I mentioned yesterday in the press conference, 3 of the 5 lights we've seen decreases in any type of accident, and then 2 we've seen slight increases. But so we haven't seen some major number of decrease. However, also understand that that's every type of crash. So we're digging deeper into that to say, what does injury fatality crashes look like? Because remember,
yeah.
when this began, what we said was we would rather have a fender bender because a light is red and someone's going 15 miles an hour than someone getting T-boned in the intersection. So,
right.
So I think that matters too.
That'd be a win. If we're trading major collisions for minor collisions, that's a win too, right?
Correct.
Even though nobody
Correct.
Wants
and again,
that, but
not
that's
we
a
want
win.
That prolonged,
right.
And we fully expected a change of a change of behavior. People don't see it. They just see the photo and 4 sign and slam the brakes. You know, we understand. We've said that from the beginning. We know there's going to be a temporary flattening of that. But it is something we continue to monitor. And as I said from day one, if we do this for enough of a sample size and we're not seeing the results that we want, then we'll go a different direction.
Airport, again, brief thing, but it's important to people who are getting ready to travel for Thanksgiving or Christmas. A new lane for TSA is open, right? You got 5 now?
That's right. Yep, we're our 5th lane. This is continued positive evolution from last March of having to reach out to Rick Scott because our lines have gotten so bad, you recall. I keep bragging on our team. I believe the longest single hour of being in line in the summer this past summer was 31 minutes. So meaning if you're there an hour and a half before your flight, get there whenever your carrier tells you to get there. Don't take the mayor's advice. You get there whenever they tell you. But what I'm saying is no one for the entire summer sat more than 31 minutes in line. And that's a huge step forward. And what happened is they came in and said, oh, geez, you guys are understaffed over here. So thanks to Senator Scott for kind of beating the drum for us and getting folks there. And that was, and so this is a second part of that, was not only did they realize how low we were in staff at that time, 18 months ago or so, but they also said, oh, you don't even have enough equipment. So that's why I tell that backstory. This fifth line was just continued analysis of saying we might have gotten a little bit left behind in terms of making sure that we're modernized and we have enough people to get people through.
The pay standardization that Charles Baer had proposed that would only come into play after next year's election, which you have not even said yet officially you are running for re-election or not, but let's imagine most of us believe that you are or will make that decision. They did not vote in the increase in pay. Are you going to be okay? Are you going to...
I'll survive. I wasn't part or not asked to be part of that conversation.
Right.
I've got a million other things and other people's jobs to create and salaries to worry about than that. I certainly didn't get in this job the first time wondering when pay would increase. If they want to put an item up, I certainly can't stop them, but you probably paid more attention to that than I have.
The Escambia Creosote Works, the Superfund site. The folks showed up in mass to complain that nothing has been done for a long time. You had good news because you were at you were in D.C. And you had talked to, EPA, and they're at least, something in the giant machine of the federal government is starting to work. What's going on?
Yeah, for people hearing this update, everybody, buckle in. Sometimes the federal government at the EPA level takes a long time. I believe that we designated this as a Superfund site again the year before I was born, and I think in 1983, and we're still waiting for remediation. But as I certainly shared with the group that came in, is the first step of this, it was supposed to happen this year, and again, it's been delayed. So the funding is there, the $34 million, but it's been there since 2021, since before I was even in this job. So there was the delay most recently had been between the bandwidth of Army Corps and EPA over in Mobile. They've actually transferred some of that work over to the Jacksonville office of Army Corps to get some extra bandwidth. So that's good news. But what was supposed to start taking place, which is the remediation of some of the private property yards and stuff, in the Sanders Beach area, instead of starting this year, right now is slated to start in the summer of 26.
Okay.
So it's still moving at a snail's pace. We're waiting on that. And that's what I did share with the Deputy Secretary of EPA, is say, hey, if we're bragging about cutting red tape, I've got a great example that you can make with our Superfund site down here. And I also reminded them that, by the way, one of those yards that needs to be scraped is mine. So if you think it's something that we don't care about, or something I don't think about or see literally when I drive to City Hall every day, it is top of mind for us, and there's certainly no ball in our court in Pensacola in terms of slowing that project down.
PPD chief is an ongoing search process. Obviously, the union has come forward with their strong desire to have Eric Goss, Deputy Chief Goss, to be put into that position. I assume at this point you guys are reviewing applications, haven't made any decisions. Are you preferring to go internally, or do you have no preference at all?
My preference is to have the best person for the job.
Okay.
And it's not going to be defined by internal or external or any of that. And certainly, it's no surprise that the union would want to support Deputy Chief Goss, who's been an amazing part of our police department and our community for a long time.
Right.
So no surprise there. But, we are going to have a standard process. And whether Deputy Goss gets it or he doesn't get it, I think everybody deserves, community deserves for this to be a well-thought-through process and that's taken very seriously, and that we ensure that when we're done, we've got the best person for the job, regardless of where they've come from or where they've been. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to meeting with Deputy Chief Goss on this as well. And there should be more news, I would say, probably by next week.
Oh, okay.
Of exactly what that process and timeline will look like in terms of finalists and selection and all that.
All right. I saved the big one for last, even though we only have about a minute, but we've talked about it a lot already today. 2,000 jobs, a triumph ask for shipbuilding at the port and parts building at the port that would not require any local match. What magic is this?
Yeah, how about that, right? Obviously, we've been excited and sitting on this one and working through due diligence of this one for many, many months throughout this year, and working alongside this company to see if this is something that makes sense. But But listen, 2,000 jobs at $80,000 a year is a game changer for us. I mean, they would immediately at 2,000, once they phased up, they would be the second largest employer inside the city limits. And for us to do that on our property and to not have nearly the amount of money that you've seen in other projects that has to come from the county or the city, I think it's an enormous win for us. And when you think about 2,000 jobs at 80,000 average, that's $160 million a year of salary going into our community one way or the other. I mean, that is just an incredible impact that could have, not to mention what their mission is, which is certainly to help on the defense side and to make sure that our military is ready to go. We love this project. It wins all around, and we certainly are excited to get it in front of the Triumph board and hopefully get the support. I believe it's the second largest Triumph ask of all time, I think. And so we know the gravity of that, and that's a big decision, but we're certainly excited about it.
If this comes to pass, and even if it's 1,000 jobs, good Lord, that would be enormous, right? This is also, as I read it, almost an entire scrapping of the port plan that came out a few years ago. But again, given the enormity of the win, if we can manage to pull it off, I will 100% take it. The only thing I have to say, and I don't need you to comment necessarily, but Project Maeve, who came up with Maeve as... I don't mean to insult.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somebody's got an aunt.
You'll have to ask the day-to-day folks. But I will say this. There's been lots of plans. You know what changes plans sometimes, Andrew, is $160 million of annual salary coming in. So,
no doubt.
Steps and lookouts and all those things on port all of a sudden take a little bit of, unless those start paying $80,000 a year.
Right.
This jobs has got to be our number one thing, of course, and it always has been. So to create something like this would be just so huge for us at the port and for our region.
And by the way, so much for the people who always said, well, that D.C. Reeves, he's just in Quint's pocket. All he wants to do is develop it into condos.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah, I know. It's a sad day. It's a sad day for those things.
All right. Quick lightning round today. The penny is no longer being produced. Has D.C. Reeves ever collected coins? Is he sad about the penny going away?
Yeah, at a time I went to Buccaneer Coin Shop on Palafox Street when there was nothing else down there.
Nice.
Growing up. But of course, they're in probably my mom's attic somewhere or got left behind somewhere. I have no idea where they are.
Sometimes in families, the husband or the male partner, he gets tasked with certain jobs, killing insects, hanging pictures, fixing cars, whatever. In your household, is there anything that you as the man are tasked with doing?
Killing insects actually is a good example. I'm the one that has to go get the wasp spray out for sure. All spiders, all hornets, all bees are in my purview. And this is especially funny because Sydney's looking at me right now while I do this. I can't be fully honest with you with all. I don't want to go through the entire list of everything I have to do. I have to do that whenever she's not here.
Got it. And last one, donuts, plain or something exotic?
I'm plain. You adapt to your environment. You go to these breakfast things and, you see so many plain donuts. That's what you end up falling into. So
you've been acculturated. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on my donut game, yeah.
Well, Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you. A lot of stuff. We'll still get to more of it next week. But thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thanks so much.
You bet. PJ's got traffic now. PJ?
Still working that vehicle crash, Whisper Bay Boulevard at Gulf Breeze Parkway. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. US 90, traffic's running heavy from Woodbine and Pace to about Scenic Highway in Pensacola, so expect delays there. Also, the front gate of NES Pensacola still backed up South Navy Boulevard to about Gulf Beach Highway. Gulf Beach Highway also seeing delays. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, listen to this. All it needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio
Somebody said the News Radio Pensacola app. Somebody says Maeve is a much cooler name if you've seen Westworld. No, that's true. That's a good point. Somebody else says that the Gulf Breeze issue at Whisper Bay is no longer a roadblock, that the accident there is no longer a roadblock. So thank goodness. I'll take that. Appreciate it. We'll be back next hour. We'll talk about more. I don't know what we got coming up. It's going to be fun, though. Had so much to cover with the mayor, and we really got to a lot of it. So I appreciate that. Stick around.